Hey friends, welcome to Let's Be Clear. I am Clear Cherry Reeves, and this is a podcast where we get clear, pun intended, about how to find a kingdom perspective in all things. No, really, all things. Whether it be about pursuing your dreams, finding hope in hardship, or just talking about Jesus, we will get raw and honest. I believe it will encourage you. Now, let's dig in. Hey guys, happy Monday. Or actually, I know it's not Monday because things have been a little bit crazy over here. I don't know about you guys, but our family and work has just been crazy with the change of seasons and everyone's getting sick. Oh, anyway, I hope y'all are healthy. I hope when you're listening to this that you are feeling good, that your energy's up. If you're catching this and you're feeling down and out or like you can't get a break, hold on. Jesus knows that. He knows what's on your plate. Man, I've been praying and thinking and talking to him a lot about that. And he knows our capacity, guys. That's the great thing. And he knows what we need and he knows what's ahead of us and he knows when we feel like we're drowning. So anyway, we're here. If it's Monday when you're listening, happy Monday. If it's Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful to have my voice back. That's why I couldn't get this to you guys sooner. But anyway, here we are. I know that the last episode was a little bit of a deviation from our normal, but we are back on track with the focus words this week. This week's word is purpose. And we're going to dive deep into it and just see what Jesus says about this word. I mean, it's a big word, right? We've heard it a lot growing up. It's, I feel like there's a million different definitions, which is always the cool thing about these words is there's like truly a million different directions, but Jesus simplifies things, right? He really is a God of simplicity. But within that there's also, it's also so rich, right? There's so much depth to it. So anyway, purpose, big word. And honestly, when thinking about this word, I don't even know how to really start, like where to go with it and how to tackle it. It's pretty universal in my opinion. I think it's the word that really determines everything about our lives, right? Like, because if the purpose of something affects everything about it, why it was made, how it operates, what's healthy for it, what's unhealthy for it, like, then that is what determines how that thing or that person or whatever it may be, the purpose of whatever we're talking about, how it spends its time, right? And how you spend your time is how you spend your life, right? So purpose really is so important. And so when I thought about this, I thought about this commercial that came to mind. I remember seeing it and I can't remember where I saw it or what it was for. But it was this grandfather who was preparing dinner with his daughter. Okay. And they're in the kitchen and his daughter asks, "Hey dad, like, how are you liking the new iPad we gave you?" Obviously the kids had chipped in and he'd given him an iPad, right? Kind of saying, "Hey, get with the 21st century, dad. Here's the iPad. Now you can use it." And he's obviously, like you can tell on the other side of the kitchen, he's obviously chopping vegetables up behind her. And he's like talking. You can't really tell what he has. And he says, "It's going great." And then she asks him about how he likes all the apps. And he walks over to where she is by the sink. She's over by the sink with the water going. And he puts the iPad, so he had been using the iPad as a cutting board. Doesn't that just make you cringe? And he puts it underneath the water and he says, "What do you mean, apps?" You can tell by her face, she is like, "Are you serious?" Right? This iPad that they gave him, he had been using as a cutting board. And just completely annihilating the whole purpose of it. Obviously, with technology, like, hello, he's literally using it like, "Oh, great, a flat, clean, concrete surface. I'm just going to use it." And then he literally puts it underneath the water. And this is such an extreme example. And if I could show you the video, you would see, but basically imagine a man using an iPad as a cutting board and then running water over it and being like, it's great. I love it. It's really functional. That seems so extreme. But to be honest, I think it's very relatable because I think we often do this in our own lives with our gifts, with our bodies, with our resources, and with the future that God has promised us. I figured this visual would help us really provide a jumping off point. Like, why is purpose so important? Because I think that if we don't understand the true purpose of why we are on this earth, pretty much everything else gets lost in translation. Purpose is the banner, if you will, over everything else. And why do you think when we think of this commercial, like this man using this iPad, it's so dang hard to watch? Because you and I know that the iPad was made for something so much more valuable than what it was being used for. Right? We know, oh my gosh, what are you doing with that? You aren't, you, that is not the purpose of why that was made, right? So what is purpose? Purpose is the why behind the what and the who. Let's be real, guys. We know that we weren't put on this earth to just like party and hang out and explore cool places and all that. You know, I mean, we know deep down in our souls that we were made for the more of life. So what is the more? I think it's really helpful if we take a step back and realize you are wired to ask, why am I here? Because existence without purpose is meaningless. Your pursuit of why becomes the root of your worship, because the why always leads back to who. I'm going to say that again. You're wired to ask, why am I here? Okay, so don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed. Don't run from that question, because that always leads us back to worship. Why does it do that? Because your pursuit of why am I here, will always, when you get to the root of it, lead you back to worship, because the why always leads you back to who. What is the point of life? Like when someone asks you what is the point of your life, what would you say? And what does God say about that? That is a massive question. So don't take my word for it. But really, when thinking about it, I think it comes down to the crux of it really being to know God and to make God known, right? To enjoy God and to know what he enjoys us. Like he enjoys spending time with you. I love thinking about that. I think that's just, gosh, if we can really believe that, I think that changes things. That the King of Kings, the creator of the entire universe, he enjoys spending time with me and my heart and you and your heart. No matter what it's walking through or where you find yourself, you will always experience the greatest enjoyment in knowing him. Think about it. If you really thought that knowing God was the most important way you could spend your time, like above everything, right? Above a promotion, above spending time with your spouse, even above anything, that knowing God, because it affects everything else, if you really thought that was the most important way that you could spend your time, how would you order your days? If you really thought that enjoying God was the most fruitful and exciting thing, would the placement of your resources, of your time, of your energy, of your prayers, of all of that, would it change? I mean, if you're being honest with yourself, if I'm being honest with myself, yes, right? Like there's many days where I know it's the game changer. And yet a lot of times I make it the last thing that I do, or I give it the smallest amount of time, or I rush it, right? Or I'm just talking to the Lord, like, hey, can I get a result of a prayer, right? Not, hey, I just want to talk to you. Like, I just want to enjoy you. Because the more you enjoy something, the more that you're going to plan to do it, right? To be honest, I think so many of us focus more of our energy on making God known, and I'm very guilty of this, without first immersing ourselves in knowing God. This leads to performance faith. If you want to develop a stronger heart for serving, like y'all, when we are like, man, I just wish it was in me. If you want to develop a stronger heart for serving, immerse yourself in the heart of God, and serving Him will become your response. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now this is eternal life. That's it. That's the crux of eternal life. That is the point of it all, that we would know the one true God. You know, in our culture, and this is just my opinion, I think we really want to be known, like in a worldly sense, as in a gaining of popularity, of recognition, of the world's adoration, right? Not like deep down known. I don't mean that. We really want to be known instead of really wanting to know God. And when we compromise wanting to be known by others for abiding in the truth that we are known by God, we compromise peace for popularity, courage for conformity, and recognition for refreshment. On the flip side of that, when we do remember our purpose, right? When we do keep that top of mind, when you focus on making God known instead of being known by others, you walk in peace over popularity. You have courage over comfort, and you have refreshment over recognition. I'm going to say that again. When you focus on making God known instead of being known by others, you walk in peace over popularity. And who doesn't want a life of peace, right? That's what we're really after. You walk in courage over comfort because you don't actually want comfort. You want to be courageous. You were made to be courageous. And you experience refreshment over recognition. You actually don't want to be recognized, but you do want to live refreshed. You do want to live with your eyes open. You do want to live feeling like you are walking in your purpose. So, where do we find our purpose? And this is going to sound like the most elementary thing ever, but it's also wild how much we ask what our purpose is instead of looking in the place that we know we can find this purpose, right? Which is the Word of God. Let me ask you this. If you wanted to know the purpose behind, say, I don't know, a vacuum or a piece of technology or a new program or something, what would you consult? The manual, right? Like, just like an instruction manual tells you how to use something, the Bible is our instruction manual. It's crazy to me how many of us, including myself, totally guilty, I'm preaching to the choir here, how we feel like we get stuck in these ruts, right? Like, we get so anxious and we talk about it. We get stressed out with what's next and we try to control it. Or we get stuck in these strongholds of shame or fear or whatever it is, and we don't open the word. And I think the enemy knows that. I think he is fully aware how active and alive and transformative the word is, and he will do anything to keep us from saturating ourselves in it. However, I also want to mention that not only is it our manual, but it's the love letter to our souls. Guys, sometimes a manual does not sound exciting, right? A manual does not sound affectionate. A manual doesn't sound like it's something we want to dig into. The Word of God is also the love letter that we are absolutely dying to read. And we won't know that until we open it, right? The more revelation that you have of the Father's love for you, the more that you will want to do what he says, go where he follows and love who he loves. When your heart begins to wander, Go back to the word. Go back to the word. When you start to wander, go back to the word. It will always provide the counsel, the courage, and the comfort that you need. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that, thoroughly equipped, aka lacking nothing, right? The word is our tool belt. We have to actually open it and see what it says about our purpose, right? And I think it's easy to talk about this in a very ethereal sense, but when we break it down into our everyday, I think it does get tough. Like, how do we live a life of purpose? And truly, I think in my life, what I've seen too is vision is great, but honestly, a lot of times we just know the next right thing. You know, we just know truly the next step in front of us and our purpose. What is our purpose? Is to know God and to make Him known. And how do we know God in this day? How do we, in the day that you're in the day that I'm in, how can I walk in the Spirit this next hour? That is purpose. And I think sometimes we got to get it down to just that small of a question, which is really a massive question, because if not, it feels so overarching and we get really overwhelmed, you know? I did want to share an acronym that Rick Warren has, a really good acronym for purpose. And he just talks about, you know, as far as the specifics, this would be like a whole other episode if I actually went into it and broke it down. Maybe we'll do that another time. But I wanted to share it because I do think it's helpful as far as your specific purpose and getting into the nitty gritty. And it's, the acronym is for SHAPE, which is S is spiritual gifts. H is heart, like what do you love to do? A is abilities, like what's your, you know, what's your thing? What's your talent? What's your area of life that you really excel? P is personality, and E is experience, like your background, your scars, your addictions, your struggles, your story, all of that. And really, how does all of that work together to really show you, okay, what is your specific purpose where you are? So I just wanted to share that because I think it's helpful to think through those things, because it's wild to me included, how often we just really get attached to a pace and we don't even stop to assess if we're walking in our true purpose, because we just kind of keep going blindly. And I think it's our friend to pause. And that's why time with Jesus is so crucial, and the word, because the word is that spirit, it allows us to hear the voice of God, right? And how do we know that we're hearing the voice of God if we know the voice of God? So that's what we got to read. That's why we got to dig in and say, what does he sound like, right? Like, what does he say? What is he about? What aligns with his desires for my life? The next question I wanted to think about was, how does the enemy try to keep us from walking out our purpose? And I was asking myself this question and was just thinking about, like, what I tend to respond with when people ask me what my greatest fear is. And I don't know why this came to mind. Or I do once I actually break it down, but I think really my greatest fear, I think, is probably like wasting my life. Like, obviously I don't think any of us want to waste our lives, right? But I think for a while I really got in my own head about it. In other words, I think the enemy saw that, knew that I thought frequently about, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. And then he used it to his advantage, right? If he can use our own thoughts against us to just spin our own web, he doesn't have to do any work. And in other words, it just made me get distracted with enough doubt and enough worry about wasting my life that I would then spend my time worrying and doubting and second guessing instead of living out what God has for me right here, right now. Isn't that crazy? Like, I think we do that though, right? I think we tend to make it convoluted in our heads, or we try and add to it, or we wonder, is God, like, just like what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? Just to start to question his sovereignty over our lives. Lord, are you really using this? Are you really using me? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where what is my life amounting to? And just getting in our heads and allowing those questions and those doubts to plague us. Now, do I think that God is able to like redeem anything and restore lost time and use anything and everything for our good and his glory? Absolutely. Absolutely. However, I do think that we have a true opportunity every single day to ask, will we trust God's hand and walk in faithfulness, or will we doubt God's heart and remain stagnant in fear? I'm going to say that again. Will we trust God's hand and walk in faithfulness, or will we doubt God's heart and remain stagnant in fear? It sounds ridiculous that we could worry so much about purpose that we actually don't walk in the purpose he has for us right here. Or that we could wonder, is it really God? And then we don't do it and we stay stagnant. I think sometimes we can just ask ourselves, is it out of my comfort zone? Does it serve the Lord? Does it align with scripture? Does it please the heart of the Father as best as I know his heart? Then I'm going to do it, right? And if not, he will tell me. Yo, he's not going to let us keep walking blindly in a direction he does not want us to travel. That is not God. So I think he a lot of times distracts us with doubt. And that way he doesn't have to do much worry or much work, right? If we just worry or wander or stay in our heads. Or he convinces us that we can walk in this purpose after we establish our position and our promotions and our palace on earth, right? I think that he loves to do that. I think he says, hey, why don't you get yourself right? Like, get the position you want, the promotions you want, build your palace, make it all good, get comfy, and then you can walk out the purpose God has for you. Because he knows that we will never feel like we actually get settled, right? Because we were not created for that life. But if he can convince us to procrastinate our purpose by building our palace here, he does not have to worry about discouraging our destiny. We have to have our eyes open. Your God can't, he's not going to force us to walk in purpose. That's not our God. It is a choice. Is he sovereign? Yes. Will he use everything? Absolutely. That's not what this is about. But we do have a choice. Whether we respond in faith or stay in fear, we do make that choice. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." So, what happens when we don't walk out our purpose? We kind of talked about it, but because we are all made by God and hardwired with the desire to have eternal significance and cultivate true purpose here, I think we often don't realize that our restlessness, like if you feel anxious right now when you're listening, or you feel like your life is in disarray, or you're going through transition, and you just feel like, man, I don't know, I just feel like I'm missing it. I think that's not really a lack of position or provision or power or holding of actual palpable things, but rather a lack of purpose. Because I think that's mercy, right? I'm going to say this, and it's a big statement, but I think it's true. When your spirit loses sight of your God-given purpose, you will feel restless. But this uneasiness is actually a gift, right? It is actually mercy in action calling you back to a meaningful life. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for that we and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." At the end of the day, you can take so much comfort in knowing that no matter what you do, where you've been, or how you've gotten here, that God can use everything for your good and his glory. That is always true. So never ever worry like, oh gosh, I missed purpose. I was being the prodigal son for the past 20 years, right? Or man, I just really am losing it in this season and I'm just going to call it a loss. That's not, God doesn't work that way, right? Everything can be used for our good and his glory. But just because it's being called good does not mean it's not going to be hard. And when we get in these moments where we know, oh, that's not what God has for me. That is mercy, but we have to respond to mercy. Mercy is freely given to us, but it is our choice whether we respond and say, I heard you, Lord. I heard you. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to receive your grace, and I'm going to walk the way that you're asking me to walk. That's different, right? That's a life of repentance, and that repentance is a response to the grace and mercy that says, hey, you were made for such a specific purpose. Don't miss it. Oftentimes, the greatest teacher towards you living a life of purpose are the tragedies and the troubles you face along the way. I do believe that. Realizing what doesn't fulfill you is great encouragement to pursue what does. Don't be discouraged, friend. Where you are, God will use all of that as preparation for the purpose He has for your life. And I can speak truly, like, absolutely, I can say in my life that the tragedies and the troubles, even the ones I brought on myself, have been truly the greatest teachers for me to realize, man, this is a rich life and it's passing quick and I don't want to miss it. And it's revealed to me my stubbornness, right? My need for God. Like, I praise God for those moments. They were not fun, but they are often our greatest teachers. So what happens when you do walk in your God-given purpose? When you do abide in Jesus and then you live your life out of that, Scripture tells us that you will have a fruitful and abundant life. Jesus longs for us to run after Him, and I want us to get this. He longs for this for us. He longs for us to remain in Him, not because He needs us, y'all, but because He knows we need Him. Jesus does nothing out of pride ever. Pride is that is the root of our sin. And He is sinless, right? He had every temptation and He never responded in pride. His character is perfect. His authority is supreme and His kingdom is forever, the end. His desire for us to realize our purpose is all because of His love for us. His love for us. Going back to that commercial that I mentioned at the beginning about, you know, the cringiness of the old man putting his iPad underneath the water. Oh my gosh, hurts my feelings. Going back to that, you know, I mentioned that first because I think about what happens when an iPad is utilized in the correct purpose, right? Fully operating in all the ways that it can and plugging itself in every night to recharge. What happens then? It can operate at full capacity, right? At full function, fully available to the owner. When you walk according to your eternal purpose, your earthly experience gleans a perspective that can't be shaken, stolen, or stopped. And this allows you to be a difference maker in every circumstance. Y'all, knowing your purpose does not remove the hurdles, right? Knowing your purpose, actually, a lot of times, sometimes it feels harder because you're no longer okay with the false advertisement, right? You know what a rich life really is. But it also means that you know the forever hope you get to cling to as you run all the way home, and hope changes everything. Colossians 1, 9 through 10 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." What is the purpose of life? To know and enjoy God. And then to make Him known, right? To make disciples everywhere you go because you are responding to the love that saved you. And then you are loving people just like that. Every week in the devotional, there is a focus tip. So this one's on purpose. It says, do you ever wonder why you are where you are in life? This week, be reminded that you are here on this earth at this moment in time for a specific purpose to love God and others. This week, try to make this your only goal and see how God shows up. I'm going to read this. It's usually a Monday prayer, but the awesome thing, we call it that because it's like the start of a new week. It's great for any moment at any time, whenever you want to read it. And I really encourage you to close your eyes and just receive this over your life if you can. Pause what you're doing. If you are driving and you can pull over, like truly just allow your spirit to receive it. And if you can, it's on my Instagram. You can go to the Monday prayer and read it over your life. Doesn't matter if it's Monday. Like I said, every day is applicable. So we're going to pray it up, okay? Hey, Jesus, thank you for the gift of another Monday or another week. Your mercy is new, your majesty is obvious, and your miracle-working power is constantly moving heaven to earth. Grace abounds. Will you help me maximize this fresh slate of a week? Show me where to move my feet so that I'm walking in the Spirit. Elevate my perspective. I long to see my life through your eyes. Catalyze my courage in the spaces you have called me to step up. I want to be the leader I know you created me to be. When I find my spirit striving or my heart riddled with anxiety, will you slow me down, lift my head, and refocus my eyes on you? Teach me how to sort through the messiness of my crowded mind and receive the peace of your presence. Just being with you is strength. Thank you for filling my heart with so much love that I have no choice but to overflow onto those around me. You always refresh my spirit. When my emotions begin to forget truth, take things personally, or try to take over, remind me of who I am in you, secure and safe. My heart is full of expectation, wonder, and gratitude for a new week. Great is your faithfulness and your friendship. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, such a deep breath, right? Isn't it like, why are we not praying at all moments? No wonder scripture tells us to do that. It is so calming. Our soul always needs it. Anyway, I hope this podcast encouraged you. I just want to remind you that God knows where you are. He really does. He knows the groans of your spirit. He knows what you don't know. He knows what you need. He knows your timeline. He knows where you feel delayed. He knows where you feel delinquent. He knows where you feel defeated. He knows where you feel depleted. He knows where you feel discouraged. He knows all of that. And he is capable of anything and everything at any moment. The best thing we could ever do is to spend time knowing God and to make him known wherever we are. That will always be the richest pathway of purpose. If this did encourage you, maybe you can send it to a friend. That's always helpful. It's an easy way to love someone and just say it, not just say many words and say, hey, I was thinking of you. Take a listen to this podcast. I cannot tell y'all how much I appreciate your reviews. They just fill my spirit up. So they're so kind and so gracious. And I just read them and seriously raise my hands. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Because I feel like I'm often talking to myself and your grace is so sufficient. You cover that. So I'm grateful this has encouraged y'all. If you want to leave a review, it's always appreciated. And I do want to mention The Miracle of You is available for pre-order. It will be arriving in y'all's mailboxes next March 14th is when it releases. I know it seems like a long way off, but man, your pre-orders mean the world. So if you haven't pre-ordered, it's such a great children's book. It was written in honor of Sledge, but it is applicable to any child, up to age even like 10. So if you haven't grabbed your copy, and I actually read it as an adult, so it's very encouraging. Grab your copy today. I'll include the link in the show notes. But I'm grateful for you guys. I just hope you know how much you are loved and treasured, and that you don't have to do a single thing to earn that love. Isn't that the best news? Have a good week. We will see you soon.